The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 31 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It's important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Father. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective, and my aim is to teach you how. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're going to wrap up the good news regarding Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, according to Matthew, and we'll read the last two chapters of Yohanan John. This is part 10. So the overview, the first book in the so-called New Testament in the Bible, Matthew, provides an authoritative account of the life, death, and resurrection of Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, incorrectly Jesus Christ. I've corrected the core translation errors and added commentary based on my personal experience and revelation. This is the last episode and deals with Yahushua after his resurrection. And then I'll also share with you a bit from the good news according to Yohanan John, the gospel according to John. So I'll comment on the last two chapters there. Matiyahu is the Hebrew word translated Matthew, and it means gift of Yah. And Yohanan is the Hebrew word translated John, and means Yah has graced. Finally, look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So we're looking at the good news according to Matiyahu, chapters 26 to 27, to 28, I believe that is, and book 4, according to Yohanan, chapters 20 and 21. Starting with Matiyahu, chapter 26, verse 62. Sorry, I believe that's 28, verse 27, verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command therefore that the tomb be made sure until the third day, lest his followers come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last error will be worse than the first." So remember, Yeshua's just died. He's been laid in the tomb of Yosef. And the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. There were earthquakes. earthquake cracked through the foot of the stake hole where Yeshua died, blood running down the crack onto the Ark of the Covenant, although nobody knew the Ark of the Covenant was there. The soldiers, the Roman soldiers, cried out that, yes, this was clearly the Son of Yah. They got it. The chief priests didn't. And that is the evil of religion. That is the evil of people who have a head knowledge of Father and don't have a relationship with Him. Verse 65, Pilate said to them, "You have a watch. Go your way, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Please read the article, The Miraculous Death of Yeshua, on the website to fully understand the significance of what is reported above. The whole series of events and everything leading up to it was meticulously planned at least 1,000 years beforehand and agreed to by Yah and Yeshua, and meticulously scripted and choreographed by Yah through His Spirit. I've made this point before, but it bears repeating. Nothing that happened to Him was a surprise to Yeshua. He came to earth as a human being, knowing full well everything that was going to happen to Him. He had witnessed people die the way He was going to die. He knew how agonizing it was, how painful it was, how desperately demoralizing and just terrible it was. And yet He came, He lived without sin, He went out of His way to provoke the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes so that they would kill Him that way, so that His blood could flow onto the Ark of the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, and He could institute a new offering for sin, a new atonement for the high priest. Chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Miriam from Magdala and the other Miriam to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the messenger of Yah, the eternally self-existing, descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the messenger answered and said to the woman, "Fear not you, for I know that you seek Yeshua, which was executed. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where Adonai lay. And go quickly and tell his followers that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and did run to bring this follower's word. And as they went to tell his followers, behold, Yeshua met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and bowed down to him. Then Yeshua said to them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and they shall see me." Bowed down, frequently translated worship, which again creates the impression that Yeshua is Yah and is not valid. Verse 11, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that took place. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money to the soldiers, saying, 'Say you, his followers came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you.' So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and the saying is commonly reported amongst the Yehudai until this day. Even today, many Jews believe that." So despite further evidence that Yeshua was the Anointed One who was to come, the leaders of the Yehudai continued to deny His coming and started lies that persist amongst the Yehudai to this day. Now, folks, this is not about knocking the Jews. It's not about knocking the Yehudai. It's not about, yes, the Jews, the Yehudai, were responsible for Yeshua's death. And he came to die that way. Yeshua came as a Yehudite, a Jew. He taught to the Jewish people. He came for the deliverance of the Jewish people. And that deliverance involved them crying out and declaring, "His blood be upon us." That was a prophetic statement inspired by Yah, even as though this mob cried for his blood. And Pilate says, "I wash my hands of the blood of this innocent man." And they said, "His blood be upon us." And they mocked him and said, "Hail the King of the Jews." And by doing that, they made him the King of the Jews. Folks, there's no incidentals, there are no unthought of pieces in this whole event. And if you have not got a handle on the total humanity of Yeshua so that he could live life as a human being free of sin and die this terrible death to introduce a new covenant for the forgiveness of sin, to introduce a new priesthood, a new high priest, and to introduce a new king with authority over the satanic and demonic realm. If you haven't got that, you have missed the entire point of the so-called New Testament. If you don't get that, sorry, folks, you're really missing the point. Verse 16, "And then the 11 followers went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Yeshua had appointed them. And when they saw him, they bowed down to him, but some doubted. And Yeshua came and spake to them, saying, 'All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore.'" Now, I've split verse 19 into two for very good reason. So I'm going to repeat. "And Yahushua came and spake to them, and saying, 'All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore.'" To paraphrase, because all authority has been given to me, I delegate that authority to you. Go ye therefore. Yeshua was given the authority, but he went into heaven where he sits at the right hand of the Father today. And he had no authority to operate on earth because he was not a living human being. So he had to delegate that authority to those who followed him, to those who believed through his name. So that is why when you speak to the demonic and the satanic, you say, "In the name of Yahushua, be healed in the name of Yahushua." Because all authority has been given to him and he's given it to you if you are a committed, spirit-filled believer in right standing and free of sin. The second part of the verse, "And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father." And then the rest of that verse is, "And of the Son, and of the set-apart spirit." Now, it turns out that if you research this, that there are many original manuscripts, as much as there are original manuscripts, there are a significant number of manuscripts around that don't have "of the Son and of the set-apart spirit." It's wrong. It's false doctrine. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So the bit about the Son and the set-apart spirit was added by Greek scribes in support of false teachings about a trinity, which is pagan and an abomination. There are other Greek manuscripts that do not have this phrase and which are more accurate, but the incorrect manuscripts were adopted because of doctrinal bias. The pagan trinity thing came into Christianity very early on. Note that the set apart spirit is part of Yah, is the portion of Yah's spirit that is given to each person who believes and is reinforced when they're filled with the spirit of Yah. So it's foolish to do anything in the name of Yah and the set apart spirit. The set apart spirit is Yah. There is no Trinity, folks. And since Yeshua is a man, it's inappropriate to incorporate him in this prayer. So there we go. And then, amen, so be it, it may it be so. The end of the gospel, the good news, according to Matthew, Matthew. So I'm now going to take a jump to the last couple of chapters of book four in the so-called New Testament, the good news according to Yohanan, John. And the commentary there is this book is generally referred to as the Gospel of John. Yohanan is correct. John is correctly Yohanan, which means Yah has graced, and gospel is correctly good news. It's fairly widely considered that Yohanan was closest to Yeshua and was most spiritually sensitive and so observed things that were missed by the other writers. Consider Yohanan 13:23. Now there was, leaning on Yahushua's Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Yahushua loved. And that is Yohanan, John, means Yah has graced. So the following the last two chapters of the book of Yohanan that contain detail not reported by Matiyahu. Chapter 20. The first of the day, so this is picking up in the same point of the reading from Matiyahu. The point at which Yeshua is raised from the tomb, or his body is raised from the tomb. It's important to understand that Yeshua, his body died, his spirit left the body, and death said to him, you can't come in here, you have no sin. Death is for sinners. And so he was instantly taken up into heaven. Remember that in the one good news, the thief that was executed next to him says, forgive me and I acknowledge you. And Yeshua says to him, this day you will be with me in paradise. Not in 3 days' time, this day you will be with me in paradise. So reading chapter 20, verse 1, of the good news according to Yohanan. The first day of the week cometh Miriam from Magdala early, when it was yet dark, to the tomb, and seeth the stone taken away from the tomb. Then she runneth and cometh to Shimon Kepha, to the other follower whom Yeshua chesed loved, and saith to them, they have taken away Adonai out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him. Kepha therefore went forth and that other follower and came to the tomb, and this other follower is Yohanan. So they ran both together, and the other follower did outrun Kepha and came first to the tomb. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen cloths lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Shimon Kepha, Simon Peter, following him, and went into the tomb and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other follower which came first to the tomb, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the writing that he must rise again from the dead. Then the followers went away again to their own home. But Miriam stood without at the tomb weeping, and as she wept she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and seeth two messengers in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Yeshua had lain. And they said to her, woman, why weepest thou? She said to them, because they have taken away my Adonai, and I know not where they have laid him. 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Yahushua standing, and she knew not that it was Yahushua. Yahushua saith to her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith to him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Yahushua said to her, Miriam. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Yahushua saith to her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my mighty one and your mighty one. Miriam from Magdala came and told the followers she had seen Adonai and that he had spoken these things to her. Notice that once more Yahushua clearly distinguishes between himself and Yah. I go to my Father and your Father, my mighty one or my God and your mighty one, your God. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the followers were assembled for fear of the Yehudai, came Yahushua and stood in the midst and saith to them, Peace be to you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the followers glad when they saw Adonai. Then saith Yahushua to them again, Peace be to you, as my Father has sent you, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith to them, Receive you the set-apart spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted to them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Yahushua came. The other followers therefore said to him, We've seen Adonai. But he said to them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And that's where the saying, Doubting Thomas, comes from. I was in contact recently with somebody who was questioning whether Yahushua was nailed to the stake. And I didn't quite understand the question, because there are a number of passages like this which make it very clear that Yahushua, and even today those who've seen him, so that they can see the nail holes and the spear side. Verse 26, And after 8 days, again his followers were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Yahushua, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be to you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not immunless, faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Adonai, my mighty one. Yahushua saith to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Yahushua in the presence of his followers, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Yahushua is the anointed one of Yah, the son of Yah, and that believing you might have life through his name. Yahushua, being now established in his full power, his glory, knows about Thomas' comments. So it's important to start to understand here. Yahushua qualified by living by sin, without sin, the first human being ever to live totally free of sin all their lives. Yahushua instantly was taken to heaven. There's some complexities around. He came back, collected his body, and took that to heaven with him, which is not the normal practice. But you see here a supernatural being. He appears in a locked room, manifests in a locked room. He knows what Thomas has said. Yeshua is the most powerful created being in the universe. Because he lived life without sin and he was obedient even to that terrible death, you can qualify for a high throne in heaven, provided that you work hard at getting above sin and being obedient. You're not going to be called to die that sort of death. You're going to be called to die a death to the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, and to tell people about Yah and to build a deep personal relationship with Yah and go out and draw people to Yah and take authority over the satanic and demonic realm and bring about victory. Chapter 21. After these things, Yahushua showed himself again to the followers at the Sea of Kinnereth, and on this wise showed himself. They were together Shimon, Kepha, and Thomas, called the twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zabdi, and two others of his followers. Shimon, Kepha said to them, "I go fishing." They said to him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Yeshua stood on the shore, but the followers knew not that it was Yahushua. And Yahushua saith to them, "Children, have you any meat?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that follower whom Yahushua chesedded, Yahuchanan, John, saith to Kepha, "It is Adonai." Now when Shimon Kepha heard that it was Adonai, he girt his fisher's coat to him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other followers came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Yahushua saith to them, "Bring of the fish which you have now caught." Shimon Kepha went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Yahushua saith to them, "Come and dine." And none of the followers durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was Adonai. Yahushua then cometh and taketh bread and gives them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Yeshua showed himself to his followers after that he was risen from the dead. So this is a dramatic experience that nobody has had since then. People have had manifestations of Yeshua who has arrived in their lives, appeared to them, spoken to them, in some cases, conversed for them for 2 or 3 hours, teaching them. That's the sum total. This was a very different experience, very significant experience, and these people were really privileged. And that's one of the reasons why I guess they stuck it out. Verse 15, "So when they had dined, Yeshua saith to Simon, Shimon Kepha, Shimon, son of Yonah, chesedest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than these?" He says to him, "Yea, Adonai, thou knowest that I chesed thee." He saith to him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Shimon, son of Yonah, chesedest thou me?" He saith to him, "Yea, Adonai, thou knowest that I chesed thee." He saith to him, "Feed my sheep." He saith to him the third time, "Shimon, son of Yonah, chesedest thou me?" Kepha was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Chesedest thou me?" And he said to him, "Adonai, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I chesed thee." Yahushua said to him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say to thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should kavod Yah, glorify Yah. When he'd spoken this, he saith to him, follow me. So there's a piece here, and there are various teachings about why Yeshua said this three times. So the lambs, the little ones, the sheep are the adults, and it's something that I don't have a personal revelation on, but if you research online, I'm sure you'll find a detailed discussion of that passage. The interesting thing to notice here is where Matiyahu hardly talked at all about what happened after Yeshua was resurrected. Yehuchanan is going into a lot of detail and perceptive detail at that. Verse 20, then Kepha, turning about, seeth follow him Yehoshua, Chesedist, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Adonai, which is he that betrayeth thee? Kepha, seeing him, saith to Yehoshua, Adonai, what shall this man do? Yehoshua said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad amongst the brethren, that the follower should not die. Yet Yeshua said not to him, he shall not die, but if I wilt that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the follower which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know his testimony is true. So notice it's a very different writing style to Matiyahu. Matiyahu, as I said, an accountant, bookkeeper, very factual, very straight. Yehuchanan, much more spiritually sensitive and more discerning of the finer details, as we see. And there are also many other things which Yeshua did, which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So, an important thing to realize, if you're guilty of referring to the Bible as the Word of God and guilty of holding that little book is the sum total of the formal communication about Yah and his ways that's significant. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. That's probably a wee bit of an exaggeration. But if you have followed this journey with me, this is the 10th session, it's clearly evident that Yahushua did much more than is written here. He taught much more than is written here. And a number of things happened post this event. Number one, the Yehudai, the Jews, persecuted the believers and tried to destroy them and destroyed their writings and everything they had done. Number two, as they moved out, the Romans started to persecute them and others started to persecute them. So they moved over and the sort of center of gravity moved across to Greece and they spread out in various directions. But because of the persecution, written records were largely lost. Things were carried by memory. Some fragments were maintained or survived. And so very, very quickly, the detail and the integrity of the story was compromised, such that the Bible is a useful historical reference, as we've seen. But if you read the four good news books, the Gospels, carefully, you will find that there are little differences. So Matiyahu says there were two men at Gadara. One of the others says there was one man at Gadara, for example. Matiyahu says that Yehudah, Judas, went out and hanged himself. Luke in Acts says that he burst headlong and his guts spilled out. The book is not entirely accurate, folks. But that's not the point. The point is that Yahushua, the first created being in the universe, chose, and a spirit being, chose to come to earth and to take on the mantle of a human being, to become 100% a human being, to live without sin, to die the way he died, in order to make a way for you to repent of your sins, a way for you to live free of sin. And if you are not taking him up on that, you are missing a key point. If you're going around with the title pastor or whatever, and you don't have a fix on what I've been sharing with you, you are an imposter. You are misleading people. So I've been reading to you from the ETI Bible version, which is a version based on the King James version because the copyright is waived. And I've gone through it and I've replaced the incorrect names to the best of my knowledge with the correct names with Yah and Yahushua. And in the so-called New Testament, there are over 3,000 instances of the name Yah, Y-A-H, in the names of people and elsewhere. In the Old Testament, there are about 11,000 names. It's on the website. Go to www.endtimeissueministries.org and you can get the ETI Bible version. It's available to download as a PDF or a DocX, and it's also available to read online. It's still a work in progress. I've done a detailed rendering through to the end of Thessalonians in the New Testament. Still work to do in the New Testament, and then I've done basic replacements and first level searching and replacing through the Old Testament. But it contains probably 95% of what's really significant in terms of what I envisage doing. The commentary just elaborates and amplifies some of the points that I've talked about. So I hope this is the end of this series of the good news according to Matiyahu and now Yehoshanan. I hope I've challenged you significantly relative to your views of who Yahushua is and isn't, what he accomplished, and importantly, how he accomplished it, because how he accomplished it with the infilling of the Spirit of Yah, which is available to you, with a 40-day night and day fast, which is available to you. And he said before he left, you will do greater works than me. I go because I go to be with my Father. You can tear down principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions in ways that he could not. You can take the authority over the demonic and the satanic as he did. You can heal people as he did. You can walk on water as he did. You can feed the 5,000 as he did. You can perform other miracles that he did and not documented. Are you orientated that way? Or are you just waiting to go to church on Saturday or Sunday or shul on Saturday or mosque on Friday or whatever and sit there passively while somebody who may or may not have a relationship with Father feeds you what they think you need to be fed, as distinct from having and seeking a deep personal relationship with the Creator. Because the only reason you are here, my friend, is to be a friend of the Creator. That's why he went to all the trouble of creating all of this, is so that you could be his friend. And if you're not trying to be his friend, what's the point of it all? You're going to die with absolute certainty. You're going to come before the judgment seat, and he's going to say to you, "Who are you? I don't know you." And you're going to say, "But Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not do this in your name? Did I?" He's going to say, "I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. I created you to have a relationship with me, and you failed to seek that relationship. You failed to talk to me. You failed to dialogue with me. You failed to seek to be filled with my spirit. You failed to do works as Yeshua did." It's there for you, my friend. You can choose today, right now, to become a significant servant and graduate progressively to becoming a friend. It's there for you. It's possible. So I want to close by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I want to challenge you to critically examine where you are relative to him right now. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and it will be bitterly disappointed when you die. If you've now come to belief for the first time, please pray along the following lines. Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yahushua. I now believe that you exist. I confess my sin of unbelief and repent of my unbelief, and I ask you to forgive my sin. I now commit my life to you, and I ask you to take me by the hand and lead me into deep relationship with you. I ask you to fill me with your spirit and to change me and help me to become the person you want me to become. I ask you to help me find people who can help me and help me find books, websites, articles, and other resources that will help me. I ask you to show me what I can do to actively serve you and lead others to deep personal relationship with you. I thank you for saving me. There's a period of 8 days from sincerely coming to belief for the first time during which there is extreme grace to help you. See the article, Critical Actions on First Belief, for actions you should take immediately. Drop me an email at james@endtimeissueministries.org so I can help you, pray with you, counsel you, etc. And then if you prayed that or you came to belief previously and you've now been challenged to get closer to Father, you can take the relevant pieces out of that prayer. This is being live streamed on LinkedIn and YouTube. I will post it on the ministry website and on the ministry YouTube and ministry LinkedIn probably on Saturday, tomorrow. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yahushua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, I'm going to wrap up now for those of you who regularly listen to this channel. If you're here for the first or second time, there's some information I would like to share with you in the next few minutes. I'd ask you just to stay on for a short while, and we'll do that. So for those of you leaving, thank you so much for joining again tonight. It's been a pleasure to have you with me. And travel safely and keep well, and I look forward to seeing you next Friday. In closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant and project manager. I have over 31 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. Following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure. Born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. There's a wealth of information. There's many, many articles there. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors is on the ETI Bible version page on the website. For recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far, search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. There are about four podcast websites with the back issues. Back issues also available from the transcripts or broadcasts page on the website. Books with teachings from 1998 till May 2019 are on the Books for Printing page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or give prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. Folks, there's a lot of information there. You're welcome to call me. I would love to hear from you. And I really encourage you to go all out to become a friend of the Almighty. Thank you so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to ask you what you understand about the history of Yahushua, the Anointed of Yah, incorrectly called Jesus Christ. Also, what do you know about the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing? If you're not aware of the life and teachings of Yahushua, then please listen to my broadcast on W4CY.com Internet Radio or Talk4TV.com Internet TV. Also visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org for a wealth of information or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I look forward to hearing from you. Thanks so much.